Well, we come tonight to the final installment in our series that we have been doing on what the Bible says about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And so I'd like for you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 tonight. As we've said before, there are many, many passages in the New Testament that relate both the coming of Jesus Christ with the purpose of His coming. And that, of course, was the cross work of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. And I want to begin reading at verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 10, which is basically a quotation from the Greek Septuagint of Psalm 40. The Greek Septuagint was a translation of the Hebrew that was a very common translation used during the time of Jesus Christ. Beginning at verse 5. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world. Now, this passage has been dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, or literal translation, He came into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when He said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. By the which will, referring to thy will of verse 9, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How often? Once for all. Let's pray. Father, bless Your Word tonight. Lord, as we consider the language that You've given to us in the Word of God concerning Your coming, I pray that there might be a renewed understanding and appreciation for Thy coming to earth and taking upon the form of a servant and made in the likeness of man. And we are so grateful tonight that You, when You came to this earth, came as the perfect Lamb of God without sin, and that You were able to fulfill in Yourself all of the requirements of the law. And therefore, when Your atonement was made on Calvary's tree and You rose again the third day bodily from the tomb, it forever sealed the fact that lost sinners would now have a way of escape and be able to be in Thy presence through the work of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for the incarnation. We thank You for the virgin birth. And I pray at this Christmas season that You would give us a tenderness toward others who may not know Thee. Help us, Father, to be very careful to give the good news to those around us so that they might know of Thee, the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we said at the beginning of our study, anything worthwhile in Christianity, by necessity, must be supernatural. It must be supernatural. The giving of this Bible was a supernatural work. The maintaining of the Word of God, He has preserved His Word. He didn't tell us how He would do it, but He has made sure that His Word has been preserved for us so that we can gather together tonight around this Word and study it. That's supernatural. The message of the gospel is supernatural. The Lord Jesus Christ coming through a virgin birth, the method by which He was incarnated, was a supernatural work. When the trumpet sounds, it will be a supernatural work. Amen. The dead in Christ will rise first, and they will receive their new bodies. Is there anything natural about that? Not at all. Supernatural. When a sinner calls upon God to save him of his sin, is there anything natural about that? No, it's supernatural. It's on the merits of Jesus Christ's work and His righteousness. It takes us into a whole other area. And I think it's important for us to remember that the mark of the supernatural is all over the incarnation of Jesus Christ. It is all over the giving of the revelation that we might know about this truth, and it is all over the supernatural work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the resurrection and the fact that He came forth in a new body. And that new body is the example, the first fruits of the body that we're going to have someday. This is all tied together. You cannot separate the doctrines of the Word of God and say one's not as important as the other. They are all joined together. When we say, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," as we learn from the book of Peter, that's a supernatural truth. How can I be holy? How can Todd Brainerd be holy? I can only be holy as the work of God's Spirit works within me, the Holy Spirit, to bring me in conformance to His precious Word. You see the supernatural work? You possess the Holy Spirit of God tonight if you're a child of God. That's a supernatural work. The moment you cried out to God and He saved you, the Holy Spirit of God indwelt you to give you power to live the Christian life. That's supernatural. Anything worthwhile in Christianity is of necessity supernatural. That's the only way it will work. I cannot live the Christian life. There is no way that I can live the Christian life. It must be the Holy Spirit living through me and my submission to the Holy Spirit. That's why I get so upset when Pastor Watt unburdened his heart about a year ago when he was in chapter 3 of 1 John about some of the teachings that he received. It revealed to me how confining religion is. To say that the Holy Spirit of God leaks out of us, and we have to constantly ask God to try to patch up the holes so that the Holy Spirit won't leak out of us, like the Holy Spirit is water or something. To me, that is a slap in the face of God Almighty. God doesn't come in pieces and parts. God is not a fluid that flows in and out of us. It's a person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. Do I understand that? No, I don't. But I believe it's God's truth because the Bible says so. And so to make the Holy Spirit into this kind of jelly form that kind of oozes out of us if we're not doing what's right, what it is we're not submitted to Him. That's what it is. It's not that He's left us, it's that we have left Him. Let's put the shoe on the right foot. It's an amazing thing. Whenever we're doing these rehearsals with the children, something new happens every day. I know Mr. Woods experienced this for years and years, but there's always something when you think you've got everything down to a gnat's bristle, and you begin to think we've got this thing down, something happens. And somebody that said their line flawlessly, all of a sudden don't even know where they're at. You know, and it's an amazing thing. We've been stepping up here on the steps for weeks now, stepping up on the steps. And yesterday, we had two or three of them that missed the step. And it was tumble. We had to go peel them back up off the floor, get them back on there to watch the step. You know, make sure you step up on the step. Watch where you're going. There's always something that's going on. And it just reveals to us that we have a sin nature and that we don't focus and that we have all kinds of issues that are going on. But aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit of God is perfect? Amen? He's perfect. And He lives within. And so when I fail, He's there to admonish and rebuke and encourage as long as I'm in the book. Because the Holy Spirit always stays on the rails of the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? He stays on the rails of the Word of God. He never gets derailed from that. So you've got to feed yourself in the Word of God, and then He takes that food and He breaks it down where we can understand it. Breaks it down where we can digest it and make it part of our being. Now, this quotation, as I said, comes from Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. And it's interesting that when you read that passage, there's no mention there of a preparation of a body. This is a direct quote of the Greek Septuagint, which has that phrase in there, and we have it here in the New Testament for us. And God can do whatever He wants to do when it comes to His Word. Amen? He can share things that maybe didn't get translated in the Hebrew properly, but He shares it with the New Testament, so we know what He's talking about. He says in this passage, when He came into the world, that tells us the preexistence of Jesus Christ. When He came into the world, what was prepared for Him? A body. There we have the doctrine of the incarnation in the book of Hebrews. Matter of fact, we see it twice. Hebrews chapter 2 has the same idea, but we see Jesus who was made, notice the language, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Again, incarnation linked with what? Crucifixion. Those two truths. Yet for your sakes, He became poor. Notice the language. Yet through His poverty, we are rich, that ye might be rich, as we learned there in that passage. So, when He came into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not. In other words, that's not sufficient. The offering of blood of bulls and goats, as we read back in verse 4, which we did not read tonight. That wonderful understanding, that was not enough. But God prepared a body for the Lord Jesus. And, verse 10, if you look down, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body. What body? The body that was prepared for Jesus when God took upon Himself flesh. Now very quickly, I just want to share very, very quickly five quick things. What did this mean? Jesus coming to earth. Jesus, the Son of God, becoming the Son of Man, incarnated, the enfleshment of God here upon this earth, whereby He could satisfy as a human being all of the requirements of the law. And therefore His righteousness being declared for your justification. That is such a wonderful and deep truth. And by the way, we could continue this series on. There are so many passages in the New Testament that we could look at. But very quickly, I want you to think with me. This change, whereby the Son of God became the Son of Man, and by the way, this is an eternal change. There is a man in the glory, and he's perfect, without sin. And he will have his body for all eternity, and he will look like us. God looks like us because he deigned to take upon flesh. Oh, that is so rich. This change meant a dwelling place change. We notice that He came from heaven in our reading to earth. John chapter 6 and verse 51. It was a change of possessions that our Lord went through. From riches to what? Poverty. We read that in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 58, we could look at those passages. It was a change in glory, for the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 10 that He went from glory basically to obscurity. We learn in the book of Philippians that He took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, the form of a servant. All right, making it out that we as mortal flesh are nothing but servants of God. And He became that for us. He left His glory and set aside the prerogatives of His deity that He might take upon flesh for you and for me. There was a change in position from equality with God to servanthood. Philippians 2, 6 through 7. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. In other words, He set aside the prerogatives of His deity. He set aside not godhood. Don't misunderstand me. He did not set aside. He set aside the prerogatives of that. And by the way, the Bible says that the Spirit of God was given to Him, Jesus Christ, without measure. Every function that Jesus Christ did upon this earth was through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He had set aside the prerogatives of His deity. He said, well, I remember in the garden that whenever He spoke, the people were knocked backwards. Well, that was the power of the Holy Spirit that was manifested. He set aside the prerogatives of His deity that He might be fully man. And then we learn that He changed His form. He went from the form of God, which was a spirit, and took upon Himself the form of man, which is flesh and bone. That's what we learn of His resurrected body. Now, we've emphasized this truth for a very important reason. And I close with this thought. We have a supernatural message. It's not a message about us. Be careful in your witnessing at Christmas time. I think a lot of times, I've heard this said so many times, just give your testimony. Well, that's all right, as long as you don't dwell on yourself so much and dwell on the person that saved you. Amen? Make sure when you witness to others that you make much of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man. the one who came. The whole purpose of Christmas was that He might come to die on Calvary's tree. And to do so meant He had to be virgin born. And this glorious truth is ours to share at this Christmas time. I hope and pray that you will carry tracts with you, that you will use every opportunity. You're going to be around a lot of family members, and there are some perhaps that you know are lost. Don't just say, well, they probably won't listen to me. You better speak up. You better speak up. You never know. It may be your last conversation with them. And you don't want to have to look back and say, oh, I wish that I had said something to them. Don't wish. Do it. And make sure that you give those out, give a gospel witness to them, and make much of Jesus Christ at this Christmas time. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. It's so clear. It's so understandable for those who have a spiritual heart that want to know more about Thee. We are so grateful that You came to earth, the pre-existent Son of God, to take upon Yourself the form of man and become the Son of man, that You might live upon this earth, be tempted at all points as we are, yet without sin, satisfying the law forever, and making Your righteousness available to lost sinners through the cross work which satisfied the Father and made all things possible for the sinner who believes and repents of sin. Now, Father, we're going to be around family members that may not be saved this Christmas time. Help us, Father, not to get so wrapped up in the moment that we lose those precious opportunities to just pull them aside and say, listen, at this Christmas time, I'm concerned about you. I want to make sure you're on your way to heaven. And then give them a word of witness from the Word of God. Oh, how important that is. It doesn't take great knowledge. All it takes is being able to share verses of Scripture that make much of Jesus Christ. And so I pray at this Christmas season that You'd stir our hearts and, Lord, awaken us to those opportunities that come our way that we might share Thee. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you and good night.